Complete orthopedic care with a collaborative approach. Tulsa Bone and Joint and Jane Phillips Medical Center have teamed up to deliver a proactive approach for the prevention, care, and treatment of all bone and joint injuries. Depend on our compassionate surgeons and medical staff for all your family's orthopedic needs. Call today for your appointment, 918-214-8232. Tulsa Bone and Joint of Bartlesville and Jane Phillips Medical Center, working together to keep you on the move.
And our community connection this morning, 200 million licensed motor vehicle drivers across the United States expose themselves routinely to significant risk while betting that they won't become stranded when they drive, and getting an opportunity to spend a little bit of time with the author of a book that, I have read and didn't bring it in this morning, but we've talked about it before. Roadside Survival, Low-Tech Solutions to Automobile Breakdowns. Walt Brinker, thank you for joining me this morning, and I hope your Thanksgiving was a happy one yesterday.
Good morning, Charlie. It sure was. In fact, I made two assists yesterday before turkey time.
Well, that is marvelous. That's something that you and I have talked about before. Anytime you're out on the road, you're not one of these people that even picks up the phone and calls the highway patrol and says, hey, there's a stranded motorist. You do the work yourself. You're stopping by, and frequently you have whatever tools you need to kind of help somebody along the way in your trunk or in the back seat or even underneath the driver's seat, for all I know. You got a book that helps people a lot, but Low-Tech Solutions for Automobile Breakdowns, and they happen east, west, north, or south. It doesn't matter if you're in Oklahoma or Maine or Hawaii, for that matter. Cars break down occasionally.
They sure do. And, you know, Charlie, a lot of folks say, well, why should I worry about this? I'll just call AAA.
Well, AAA. That's a service you pay for. But if you can do that and not have to get the tow truck driver out there, then I guess that's better off for you.
Well, AAA does good work. I don't knock AAA, and they do good work. They're not always timely getting there, but they do good work mainly near the cities where they have an office where they
right.
use their people.
Yeah.
The problem occurs away from their cities, out in the hinterland on the highways, when they subcontract the work out often to, I call them third stringers who don't have their act together.
Yeah.
And that's when the problems start.
Well, we've got an excellent wrecker service locally that is the AAA preferred provider, and they do good things around here. But again, if you are not in even Bartlesville, if you are out at the intersection of County Road 123 and County Road 124, then you got a problem, because sometimes tow truck drivers don't always know where that is.
Exactly. Well, also another example specific to Oklahoma is I was back in on June the 30th, 2014. I was traveling from Houston up to Tulsa to do a TV gig,
mm-hmm.
and I encountered a lady on the I believe it's the Indian Nation Turnpike.
Yes, it is.
Is that
That's
correct.
You are correct.
North
yep.
south.
Yep.
And I was heading north toward Tulsa, and I encountered a lady with her teenage daughter with a pickup truck pulling a large horse trailer, and the right rear tire on the horse trailer had become. Had lost its tread, and it was jammed in between the tire and the fender,
mm-hmm.
and so they couldn't change the tire. Well, I ended up cutting with my hacksaw and my bolt cutters. I cut the fender off the trailer, and then I was able to take the tire off the trailer and replace it. But that's an example of they had called AAA. AAA had not arrived over a long period of time,
mm-hmm.
so I was there at the right time at the right place to do it. So. It happens any place.
Well, it can, and you say in your book you're not a mechanic, but then most vehicle breakdowns don't necessarily require a mechanic. They need preparation, and that's really what...
Right. My general observation is about 90% of breakdowns don't require a mechanic. The people that I stop for and have helped, and it's about 75% of those involve a tire issue. Either they've had a flat tire, a blowout, or they lost a tread on the tire.
Mm-hmm.
And the other 25% is a combination of running out of gas, being locked out of your car,
right.
overheating, or an interruption of some kind between the battery and the ignition system of the which keeps the spark plugs firing.
Yep.
And, you know, it's pretty simple, really. If you just can recognize the symptom and have the right tools on board, it's easy to bail yourself out.
It is. I remember a family vacation, and this was back, I don't know, in the mid-60s, somewhere along the line. We were headed towards the Grand Canyon, and I remember steam coming out of the engine. I was not a licensed driver at the time, so I was like 14 or 15. I remember steam coming out of the front of the car, overheating, and just outside of the gun of the town of Two Guns, New Mexico. Don't remember anything else about the name of the town other than the name of it. I'm sure it was relatively small. Dad had a short length of garden hose in the trunk and was able to make some kind of an expedient repair to get to move into the next town. And fortunately, this was a time when we also carried a thermos of ice water in the car. So we had enough water to get water in the radiator to get our car moving on down the road. I don't know what it was, 5-10 miles outside of town, just to get the car back in before a professional mechanic could replace that hose in the car. So, yeah, it helps to be prepared.
I believe also, Charlie, in prevention. You know, when an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
If we have time here, I could like to go through a few considerations to think about to recognize problems ahead of time that you can head off.
That's a good idea, particularly as we get into the winter driving season, wherever we happen to be going.
And also, you know, your listeners probably are going to be going home tomorrow.
Yep.
In the next day. So here's something to think about. The most fundamental thing of all, I believe, is to, quote-unquote, listen to your car. It'll talk to you. It'll tell you when it's about to fail. And it'll tell you in many, many ways. One thing is the instrument lights on the dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
If you see a brake, if you say any warning light come on, get the book out and make sure you know what that means. But among the most critical ones, of course, are engine temperature. There'll be a little needle that'll go between C and H, cold and hot. And I found that if the needle is much farther along than 40% of the way between cold and hot, it's telling you it's starting to overheat or it's going to have a problem before too long. And you best head that off at the pass by going to a mechanic and getting it checked out. weak engine starts or dim lights when you turn the ignition on.
Sure.
If the headlights go dim, if the dash lights go dim, that's telling you the battery's weak or the connection's weak between the battery and the rest of the car. Or if it chirps at you, okay? Also, if the battery warning light comes on, that means that the alternator is no longer charging the battery, and the battery is going to probably expend its juice on the ignition system and cause the car to quit running in about 20 miles. So, you know, pay attention to the warning signs. If you drive your car and you feel a tugging to the left or to the right, or you feel a mushiness of the handling when you turn the steering wheel, that means that probably one of the tires is low on air. You need to get out and check it, and I advocate keeping in your car a 12-volt compressor so you can tune up those tires, and if it's getting low, you can squirt some more air into that tire and get it right away to a tire shop and get it fixed.
Sounds like a great Christmas gift for somebody that spends more than just driving around town on the road. If they drive, you know, 20 miles then on a given day, then chances are they might want to have one of those in the trunk.
Oh, sure. A 12-volt compressor. They start at about around $40, $50 probably.
Sure.
But they're worth their weight in gold if you need to have them out there. Funny odors also, excess or white exhaust,
mm-hmm.
Fluid leaks that you notice under the car where it was parked. These are all things the car is talking to you. It's telling you, hey, please, I'm about to fail on you. Give me through a shot.
Yeah, funny odors. If you've ever smelled antifreeze coming out of a car, you'll recognize that scent when it comes out of the heater or out of the front of the car.
Yeah. And since about 3/4 of the people that I stopped for had tire issues, just like both the ones I had yesterday, the single most important item, I would say, if you're going to look at one thing only, and you need to look at more than one, but the single biggest thing is to be sure that the tires on that are rolling on your vehicle are in good shape. And this includes that they're at the correct tire pressure, air pressure in them.
That pressure is located on a label on the driver's side door, right?
Right. There's a door jamb on the driver's door. You look down there, there'll be a decal that'll tell you what the cold pressure should be for front tires, rear tires, and the spare tire. And cold means that that's what it should be before the car is driven a mile or within the last 3 hours. Because if you drive a car, it'll increase the pressure in the tires automatically. But you want to, the numbers of PSI on that label is what ought to be in there before you start driving. And then, of course, you need to have a tire pressure gauge so you can check the tires to see if they agree with that label. If they don't, then you need to get your 12-volt compressor out and tune up those tires so they are the correct pressure.
And those tire pressure gauges sell for, I don't know, a buck or two at everybody from Walmart to probably every gas station between here and there.
Well, you might want to invest up to $5 or $6, maybe $8 to get a decent one. You know, the best ones are the ones that have it's a canted head that's got, you can either push it on or pull it on, and it's a little better than the super simple ones. But you don't have to spend much, at max $10 to get a good tire pressure gauge.
Sounds great. We're going to continue.
You don't need to get a digital one or one with a fancy dial. That's all. That's all icing on the cake, but it's extra you don't need. Really.
Yeah, if you're one of those digital solutions persons, then I guess that's what you're going to prefer to read, but you don't need one. We're going to continue talking with Walt Brinker when we continue in just a moment.
Bartlesville First Baptist Church is focused on the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. As we learn the God's Word, love God's people, and live God's mission, this vision will continue to thrive until He comes. We are committed to vibrant worship, relevant Bible teaching, genuine community, and the urgent spreading of this gospel. We are resolved. We will not be silent. Come worship with us at First Baptist Church, 405 South Cherokee in Bartlesville. Services are 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. each Sunday.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
Spending a little time this morning talking with the author of Roadside Survival, Low-Tech Solutions to Automobile Breakdowns, Walt Brinker. And Walt, again, just for maybe somebody who just joined us, you're a guy who frequently stops to aid the stranded motorist along the side of the road, and we're giving tips so that you won't be that stranded motorist along the side of the road this morning.
Right. We're talking about the tire thing here, a couple really important things is you need to develop a habit of just eyeballing your tires before you ever take a drive at all. Just make sure that they're not visibly low on pressure. And then before you take a trip, I mean, before you hit the freeway for sure, get the old tire pressure gauge out and check those tire pressures, because that is a single reason for blowouts, is underinflated tires.
Makes sense. This sounds good to me, because I just want to validate it with you. Fewer and fewer percentage of people are changing their own oil these days. But when you take the car into wherever you have the oil changed, if you have the tires rotated at that same time, roughly every, 5,000 miles, then somebody else besides you is at least looking at your tires on a regular basis, right?
Exactly. And that's something else that I recommend heartily is when you buy new tires, buy the plan that allows you to come in and do that, and rotate, balance, and check the pressure. And they inspect the tires also for emerging problems, and they can spot unusual wear on your tires, which may indicate that you need to have an alignment adjustment on your car. And so that's really important. The tires are just huge, huge, huge. But there's a few other things also. Of course, if your gas gauge is not working, get it fixed.
Yep.
And if it is working, don't let it get below a quarter of a tank. You never can tell when you're going to get stuck in a traffic jam or on an interstate or anywhere else, and you cannot get to a gas station. Oh. Meanwhile, you'll just run out of gas.
Yeah.
Really being a fix.
Oh, I tell you, I have to, 30 seconds on another Charlie story. In high school, I was driving a 1954 Mercury. This was 68 or 69, and the gas gauge was permanently stuck on empty. And so every time I got in the car, I shared the car with my sister. And so either one of us, whenever we got in the car, not knowing how many miles the other person had driven, the first place you went was a gas station. I can't tell you how many times I pulled that 54 Mercury into the station and got all of 50 cents in the tank. But anyway, it was one of those things. The gas gauge was awfully stuck on empty. Not a good idea.
And until the gas gauge is fixed, you can do it nowadays with a trip odometer. Just punch it when you gas up and have an idea how far you can get on that tank of gas.
Wow.
But don't let that be your guide at all. That's just a very rough guide. Another thing is a very common reason people's cars just stop driving, besides being out of gas, is nothing more than a loose battery clamp.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it. which prevents the juice from going to the battery to the ignition system. I found that a good thing to do is just reach in, pop your hood, and reach in and grab the cables to the battery terminals, and just give them a wiggle with your hand. If it'll move with your hand or your fingers on that battery terminal, that means if you haven't had a problem yet, you're going to have one very soon. So you need to tighten it up so tight that you cannot move it with your hand on that on the post. And you need for this, you need to have a small combination wrench. The old monkey wrench won't get it because the head is too fat and it won't reach in there and grab that nut to tighten it up.
Mm-hmm.
Engine oil also. Engine oil is the lifeblood of your engine. And so you've got to have that thing at the level, at the proper level. So it's very easy. Just reach and pull a dipstick out, wipe it off with a rag, stick it back in, and pull it back out again, and see where it registers on the dipstick. If it's not between the two dots on the dipstick, you need to adjust it so it gets that way.
Okay. So we talked tire problems. We talked oil lubrication and water type problems. Cars now, I guess, as opposed to, again, with multiple belts, there's one, I think they call it a serpentine belt, that kind of runs everything. How often do you need to at least look and check that thing?
Well, most maintenance manuals say do it 90,000 miles to 100,000 miles. I would have that at least inspected every time you take the car in for any service at all, and I would have it changed before the book says to have it changed. I'd back off another 10,000 miles or so, and if it says do it at 100,000 miles, do it at 90,000 miles, just to allow for a little fudge factor there.
Okay. You have all these tips in your book, and it's an easy read. It's paperback. I don't remember the number of pages. I'm going to guess at around 125, but I could be off by quite a bit.
About 110.
Okay.
110 pages.
There's stories, there's illustrations, there's ideas on what to look for and how often to look, and then what to do about it if you find a problem.
There's 56 pictures, about 24 little vignettes that I use of actual assists I've made, which introduce material as well as reinforce it. And it's a very easy, but you can read the book cover to cover in an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Some folks say, well, I'll just get the book and stick it in my glove compartment and wait till I break down, and I'll whip it out and save myself.
No, they already printed one of those.
That's the wrong sequence.
Yeah, they printed one of those. We call it the Book of Corporate Secrets. They furnish it for you when you buy the car wrapped up in plastic wrap. It's the owner's manual.
Yeah. Now, the trick is to read the book ahead of time and then pick up a few tools and goodies that you can use to bail yourself out, because a lot of it is nothing more than simple leverage, you know, and being able to have the right little tool. And it's amazing how apparently small that the thing can be that'll make or break the difference between a breakdown and being stranded.
Yes.
You know, if you have certain things taken care of and you have the right tools and stuff, you don't become stranded. You broke down, you can bail yourself out and be on your way.
Is the book a good gift for that 16-year-old for their 16th birthday, just to present them with a copy of the book?
I can think of nothing better for a young driver than to give them this book and tell them they must read the book in the next week or before they go driving on a trip at least, and then encourage them to go out and pick up a few of the pieces of equipment that I recommend you have in your car. And one of my mottos is better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it.
A copy of the book has a picture of a person next to a broken down car that needs fixing, and I think they're on their cell phone. Roadside Survival, Low-Tech Solutions to Automotive Breakdowns by Walt Brinker. Walt, is the book available in a lot of different places?
The book is available online through Amazon. It's available online through Barnes & Noble. I have a website called roadsidesurvival.com where they can go, and there are several links to Amazon plus Barnes & Noble plus Staples plus a few other places where they can order the book online.
Okay.
It's very easy. And also, I would suggest folks just Google this. Google Roadside Survival Walt Brinker, and they'll get a whole bunch of stuff there besides what's in the book, as well as ways they can find out more information, to include how they can get the book itself.
Okay, I've been looking at it through the interview. It's a good website. Walt, thank you very much for your time this morning, and I hope you had a great Thanksgiving and a Merry Christmas to you.
I sure did, Charlie. You too, my friend.
All right, thank you very much. Walt Brinker this morning on K1 Community Connection.
Distribution system yesterday because of a fire at a nearby